and our special guest here every, I guess that you're here every Monday, aren't you?
Every Monday.
Dick Weiss is here and talk about all things media and things that are going on. Did you have, I guess, enjoying the holiday season? Ready for it?
Yes, I was all prepared for a sumptuous buffet as we had on Christmas Eve that McGraw provided. And
that
I
is
see
true.
That today he's provided you with a can of Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, well, and actually
nobody else got anything.
And he made me pay for it. He gave it to me and made me fork out the 60 cents. Yes, last week McGraw was nice enough to send over some victuals for the group here.
And what was on the menu?
I actually didn't eat anything. I had a little piece of cake.
He's burgers, dessert. And brownies.
I had some dessert, yes.
Fries, and
yeah,
it was good
some
stuff.
Burgers. Yeah.
Boy, he
good
was,
stuff.
Wow, that's
apparently
right
he ran
line.
Out of cash.
He said he thought he was listening. He thought the show might sound a little better if he got some food into us. So
little energy. God, no M&Ms, huh?
God love him for that. So what's going on? This must be an interesting time for you, looking back at the things that have happened over the past year.
Yeah, I actually hate to look back. I hate to read all the lists in the paper of the top 10 stories, national, international. I just think it's a big waste of ink and space, and I like to look forward, but then you have a lot of newspapers will do these predictions, which, of course, never come true, or they consult with psychics, and so you want to get beyond that. But the one thing that I can predict is that Interstate 6440 is going to be closed, according to a rumor that I heard.
You're good. Boy.
And the media has been all over that one. And I have been trying out the Post-Dispatch and a local station. I think it's KMOV have teamed up to have this glitzy online site where you can go and you can get traffic updates. And I know they have them here on KTRS as well. And this one you can go online and actually hook into webcams that are pointed at the highway to see and at various roads to see what's going on. And I tried that, and I'm getting updates on what's happening with the traffic just coming out here. And it's all great. I actually planned a trip, and it had me going on a ramp that no longer exists on 64. And I think I would have plunged to my death.
Oh, my.
But hopefully that will be updated.
They're not out to get you, are you? You didn't make anybody mad over Channel 4, I hope.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe something I said. Then the... The other thing I noticed on the way here today was that there was a jogger on 40.
Oh, that's nice.
Kind of out near Warson Road, jogging. I'm wondering when they shut it down whether they will open it up to joggers.
It
wouldn't
could be
too
a new
much
trail.
In the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be great jogging because they've got those mile markers, and so you always know where you are.
There you go. And you took up jogging last year.
Yeah. So it's...
And you're the fitness expert. Does that make a bigger difference if you're jogging down the highway or jogging in your neighborhood? Is that better for you to be down?
If the highway's closed, and it's a little safer.
I think it would be kind of neat to have a... You know, one of your mini marathons
you could
going
do
down
that.
The highway.
As long as the slower joggers stay in the left and the right lane.
Right lane, that's right.
Nice.
I'm like McGraw. And then also that you have to dodge the dump trucks because of all the, when they have all the trucks out. And,
right.
Yeah. So.
But you mentioned the top 10 list and things, and I don't necessarily care for that either, but sometimes it is interesting to look back because you realize how fast time flies by and so many things that have happened that you've forgotten about. In the past year.
Yeah, the one aspect that I kind of fixate on is the people who died over the past year. And then you say to yourself, I didn't know that person had died, or I didn't know that person had died so recently.
Right.
Yeah,
and of course, those of us in journalism, we don't really share this with the public, but there's a thing called the ghoul pool, in which you predict who will die in the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have participated in that. And I've never done that. Of course,
no, of course not.
It has gone on in the Post-Dispatch newsroom.
It's one list you don't want to be on, really.
No, I had a girlfriend whose full-time job was to do obits for CBS News in terms of preparing the packages, the stories for people they thought would kick the bucket in the next at least 2 years.
I guess, you have to be ready to go on a whim if somebody kicks the bucket, as you so eloquently put there.
Exactly.
Yeah, get you a big story.
I like to call them pre-mortems.
There you go. Pre-mortems. That's exactly what it is.
Holy cow.
But there is also a list of... buzzwords that come up during the year that come up. For instance, astronaut diaper was one that had been in the parlance recently, nor has there been wide stance. That was fresh and new this year.
Yeah.
And then my favorite, which actually I think existed before this year, was getting thrown under the bus. Lots of people got thrown under the bus. Larry Craig, in fact, I Googled Under the Bus, and I think there were 18 million hits on Under the Bus that came up, and most of them were politically oriented. In fact, I wasn't able to find someone who was actually literally thrown under the bus. But Larry Craig was thrown under the bus by Mitt Romney, and Craig said that Romney then backed the bus up and ran over him again.
While he's having the wide stance?
while he was doing the wide stance. And then there was Don Rumsfeld was thrown under the bus, and then George Bush threw his press secretary, Scott McClellan, under the bus, and then near the end of the year, Scott McClellan threw the president under the bus, and it just keeps going round and round.
Stay away from the bus.
The wheels on the bus go round and round. You're right. Now, one you didn't mention, my favorite of the year is Don't Tase Me, Bro.
Yeah,
right.
That's my favorite.
I think that's a number one on somebody's list.
Yeah.
Don't Tase Me, Bro.
Yeah, one of your top ten lists there somewhere along the lines. What else is going on?
Well, the New York Times has a new columnist, and his name is Bill Kristol. He's conservative, and as most people know, the New York Times has a rather liberal slant, although they do have some conservative columnists. Now, William Kristol was a leading proponent of going into Iraq, and a lot of people thought that he lost some credibility, and he was dismissed from Time magazine recently, and the New York Times picked him up. Now, this would not be that remarkable, except that Mr. Kristol has been, according to the Times announcement, a fierce critic. For instance, in 2006, he said that the government should consider prosecuting the Times for disclosing a secret government program to track international banking transactions. And in 2003, when they had that dust-up with Jason Blair and two editors were dismissed, he said that the New York Times was not a first-rate newspaper of record, adding, "The Times is irredeemable."
Wow.
And so it'll be interesting to read Bill's first column to see if he's going to walk that one back.
Let's hope his paycheck isn't irredeemable then.
Is he an editor for another magazine or another paper?
The Weekly Standard.
That's what it is. The Weekly Standard
is what he's most known for. And he's on the Fox News Channel, and he gets around. And then the other thing going on at the Times is they had a little a feud going over a provocative photo of a semi-nude 17-year-old fashion model that appears in a magazine supplement called Tea, which is a high fashion kind of magazine, makes millions of dollars for the New York Times, and people were outraged both outside the Times but also within the newsroom that they would have this 17-year-old model, her picture in there with her exposed left breast. And now, as a public service, I went and looked
at
the picture to see if it was okay. I didn't think it was so bad.
There's another word for that.
Yeah, I didn't think it was bad, but there's a lot of feuding going on in the New York Times. The New York Times is one of the best papers in the country, the best journalist, but always, always an unhappy place.
Mm. Really? Yeah. Well, I find that odd that they question the 17-year-old model, because if anyone's seen the Victoria's Secrets models, they all started at 14 years old. They were all very, very young, and they're the ripe old age of, 20 now. It's just,
they model at 14 in the Victoria's
Secret? Well, they get their break in it, and then they kind of wean them and get them groomed for that, for their big break. They start very young.
Victoria, is that named after you?
Yes.
Don't
tell anyone. I'm never going to tell.
Wow.
Yes.
Anything else interesting? Now, 2007, I may have mentioned this to you last week, but 2007 seemed to be the year of the celebrity. I mean, everywhere you looked, the big stories all year long really seem to revolve, for the most part, around celebrities, whether it's the Paris Hilton going to jail, or O.J. getting in trouble again, or Phil Spector's trial, or, I mean, you name it, Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears. They're all, 2007, people seem to be really focused on celebrities.
And making headline news. I mean, here on ABC, he's leading with it.
Yes, I think I saw a comment from Tina Brown, who was an editor for The New Yorker and the editor of Vanity Fair, and she is credited, perhaps more than a decade ago, of really making celebrity news mainstream news. And Vanity Fair would run these covers about these actors and so on. And then, of course, with the onset of cable news, they had to fill their airtime with something 24/7.
Yeah.
And it's from my point of view, a rather pernicious trend, because what you end up doing is crowding out the news. It begins to take over, and you crowd out the news that is meaningful and important and that people really need to be thinking about. Global warming is one thing, but even that has become a kind of a celebrity. The only way it got attention was as a celebrity news kind of thing with Al Gore making a kind of a comeback. And so it's portrayed as more as a comeback story than as, you know, we're slowly drowning here.
Nice.
And so that's kind of a shame, but it does create some teachable moments. Paris Hilton, drunk driving, you know, maybe we pay a little bit more attention to that. So it can be used for good or ill, and mostly ill, I think.
Now, for my line of work, it's been wonderful. It's been a great year for,
you did have a good
for jokes
year.
And commentary, and this, oh, just keep it coming. But yeah, I agree. I mean, we should be focused on other things. But at the same time, you know, most of us will watch it anyway, you know, and what are you going to do?
I found it interesting, Dick, that in today's paper, the Post-Dispatch, in the sports section, my husband was reading this morning, it caught my eye. I'm like, wait a minute, why are they talking about this in sports where Channel 2's news director is leaving at KTVI, Fox 2, and the headline reads, KTVI exec who oversaw Pujols coverage leaves. That's their headline.
Right.
And this is all placed
in
the
sports. And as listeners will remember, the rumor that Albert Pujols was going to be named in baseball's investigation as a steroid user circulated and was promulgated and promoted most heavily on that station. And the news director, of course, turned out not to be true. And then the news director tried to defend it. And now he's going on, I guess, probably to a higher paid position, a larger market. So
there you go. The number fourth market versus we're 21. But, you know,
no bad deed goes punished. Is that be the phrase?
I guess so, at least in the industry as we know it today.
So you're trying to tell me if I say something really stupid and wrong that they may hire me somewhere in Los Angeles tomorrow? Is that how that works?
I guess so, unless only if you're with Fox.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, heck with it. All right, real quick, before we break here, Dick, the best story we have.
Yeah, so, well, speaking of bad deeds going unpunished, Hunter Jesperson is a guest lecturer at Duquesne University, their forensics investigation class, and he would speak on the topic of murder. Well, he's quite the expert because he's the imprisoned serial killer of at least 8 women in 6 states between 1990 and 1995, and he's serving 3 life terms. But he lectures the forensics class by phone, and he also sends them letters telling them how they can be better investigators. And the story is in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and you can find the link to it on my website, weissrite.com, weisswrite.com. And it's an interesting piece about how these students and a professor got in touch with this serial killer and got him to cooperate in telling them his stories, which are fairly gruesome.
So they take the cases, and then they learn about forensics by studying the cases?
Yeah, by studying
in his mind
what he did.
Wow.
And speaking of throwing people under the bus, actually one of the things that this serial killer did was to tie one of his victims under a truck.
Oh, dear.
And
oh, boy.
Go on from there so that she could not be identified.
That's
the kind of stuff that's going on in this forensics class.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes.
Gee, wow,
sounds like the book I'm reading, John Grisham. One of his first true stories called The Innocent Man. Fascinating reading if you can get through all the legalese. But I want to learn more about our justice system in these cases and how a lot of innocent men have gone to death row. Fascinating read.
Yeah.
Throw that in there.
All right, man. Happy New Year.
You too.
Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. And what's your website one more time for folks?
Weissrite.com.
All right, check it out. We got to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple moments here on the Big 550 KTRS.